Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We'll be discussing a movement within the Catholic Church, or perhaps it's better stated as a movement away from the Roman Church. I'm speaking of so-called independent Catholics, Catholics unbound by ties to the Pope. It's not a new movement, and while small by some standards, it is large by others. Joining me in studio is Julie Byrne, author of The Other Catholics, Remaking America's Largest Religion. We talk about the independent Catholic movement. Julie, thank you for being here.
So glad to be here.
Let's begin with kind of a brief overview, if you would, of this independent movement. How extensive is it?
Well, it is a movement that dates quite far back in time, all the way to the Netherlands in the early 18th century, and it has spread all over the world since then. It is never a movement that has competed remotely with the Roman Church or the other big communions, Anglicanism or Orthodoxy, for numbers. But it has persisted, and in the United States, it really took off, especially after the Second Vatican Council, though it has roots before then. And that Second Vatican Council saw a move toward liberalization in the Roman Church that some people felt did not go far enough. Independent Catholics in the United States are really taking some of what was hoped for in the Roman Communion to move in progressive directions and seeing it through. There are about 1 million independent Catholics in the United States today in about 200 separate denominations or jurisdictions, as they call them, all with their own bishops and making their own decisions about what counts as Catholicism, even as they have resort to much of the common Catholic tradition.
And some of those bishops that you mentioned are female.
Some of them are female. Yeah. So the independent Catholic movement, especially on the progressive side that I examine in the book, The Other Catholics, are already doing women's ordination and have been doing women's ordination for several decades. They also open all the sacraments, so there's already communion for the divorced. There's already same-sex marriage. There's already a married clergy.
You mentioned there are about 1 million in this country. Is it growing, or is that a fairly static number?
You know, no national survey has looked at independent Catholics, so we actually, strictly speaking, don't know. But in my study over the last 10 years, anecdotal evidence definitely points to the idea that this is a movement that's growing, so that there are more and more parishes that are not only meeting as house churches or renting other churches' little buildings, but buying their own buildings and thriving with families. So a lot of people are starting to catch on. There's social media and other ways that one can find out about independent Catholics these days. It used to be that everybody assumed all Catholics are Roman Catholics, end of story. And that's still a widespread assumption, but the word is getting out.
How is the Vatican responding to this?
So the Vatican has a number of different approaches to independent Catholics. They range politically to the right and to the left, and the Vatican has actually made fairly extensive overtures to the right-leaning independent Catholics to try to bring them back into the fold. The biggest example is the Society of St. Pius X, which has been in the news not only in Francis's papacy, but also in Pope Benedict's papacy, as the recipients of overtures to talk and come back together since their departure in the wake of the Second Vatican Council. On the left-leaning side, however, where you have married priests or women priests or open sacraments, there's a number of different approaches. At a local level, there's often a lot of cooperation between, for example, Roman priests and independent priests cooperating in a kind of underground way. But at the level of bishops or the Pope himself, if there's occasion to come into conflict with something independent Catholics claim or are doing, like Raymond Burke coming down on the Roman Catholic.
Formerly of St. Louis.
Yes. Yeah. Raymond Burke was in St. Louis and definitely outright excommunicated mm-hmm. Roman Catholic women priests who were ordained here in St. Louis.
Yeah. It was widely anticipated when Pope Francis became Pope that he was going to be much more progressive. Do independent Catholics think that he has met any of those expectations?
Yes, they do. There's actual widespread acclaim for Pope Francis in all progressive Catholic circles, including the independents, who are very often big fans of Francis. And he certainly has changed the tone overnight. He has indicated, for example, recently that he's interested in holding a commission looking at the question of the women's diaconate. He's certainly become much less judgmental about people who are gay and Catholic at the same time. However, I really think the independent Catholic phenomenon shows the limits, maybe not of Francis personally, but the limits of the Roman Church, that as a institution moves glacially. Whatever Pope Francis might want to do, he definitely is dealing with an institution in which within it are significant opposition forces.
Is there any chance at all that this independent movement can, I'll use the word ultimately because that can mean almost anything, but that could change the larger church?
Oh, yes, I think so. I think that it is changing the larger church every day in ways that might not be so visible. So, for example, there is interaction between Roman progressive groups and independent Catholics every day, insofar as the progressive Roman groups want to push further what they're able to do for reform. Sometimes they need a bishop to do that, and they'll reach out to an independent Catholic bishop ordained in apostolic succession to help them do some ordinations or otherwise celebrate sacraments. Then at the local level, I referred to this before, there are really some Roman priests who want their parishioners to have the sacraments, but know that the Roman church canons might not let that happen. So if there is, for example, a gay couple that comes to their Roman Catholic priest saying, we're in love, we want to get married in a sacramental Catholic marriage, the Roman priest has to tell them, canonically, you can't do it in the Roman church. But if he is of a certain persuasion, he might call up a local independent Catholic priest he knows and say, I can't do it, but they're good kids. Can I send them to you? And so they're sort of interacting at this level of what I call standing in the sacramental gap. Lots of Roman Catholics can't get the sacraments, but they're finding them some way through the help of independent Catholic priests.
So there is this sort of a coordination of sorts going on.
Sometimes collaboration.
Have to take a break. We'll do that now. We're talking with Julie Byrne, who is the author of The Other Catholics, Remaking America's Largest Religion. Back with Julie Byrne in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back as we continue our conversation with Julie Byrne, who is the author of The Other Catholics, Remaking America's Largest Religion. Julie, if you've got a female priest and a female bishop, let's say, in the independent church, is it still a Catholic church?
Yes. Well, that's a lot of people's question. Mm-hmm. If you are not doing things according to the Roman rules, is it still Catholic? And what my book really puts in view is that there have always been other Catholics. Certainly the Roman Church is the biggest, most important, most powerful, and that's all respect and credit. But it's not the only Catholic jurisdiction making rules for what Catholic means. What I found was that there's a way to define Catholicism that's going by their common traditions, not fidelity to Roman rules. So the independent Catholic churches, the Orthodox Communion, the Anglican Communion, and the Roman Communion, all Catholics emphasize what I call the three S's. The three S's are succession, sacraments, and saints. All of them do bishops in apostolic succession, have seven sacraments, and revere the saints, especially Mary, the Mother of God. And so to define Catholicism by these things absolutely independent Catholics with female bishops and female priests are Catholic. They just have their own bishops who are deciding, yes, we accept that both men and women are eligible for ordination after they complete their training.
We should point out that we have one of the those independent communities right here in St. Louis, St. Stanislaus.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is, since 2005, a community that has been separated from its origins in the Roman Catholic Diocese, Archdiocese of St. Louis, and it is doing a courageous and thoughtful and careful and new version of Catholicism, sometimes looking to the independent Catholic movement of the past to try new things. So at this point, St. Stanislaus, too, is in continuity with Catholic tradition, sacrament, saints, and succession, and keeping its Polish heritage, which is very important, but also adding things. So now St. Stan's has women priests. St. Stan's is having a married clergy and has performed same-sex marriages, adding these elements bit by bit.
The break was painful.
Very painful. Yeah. And it is certainly still a breach recognized and healing on all sides. But in 2012, the circuit court judge in St. Louis gave St. Stan's the favorable ruling in keeping its church property. And of course, that was a landmark to sort of have a physical or structural legal okay to go ahead and do what they felt they were called to do on their own, which is keep local and parish control of the deed of the church and the property.
How similar are these churches in the various parishes? Do they coordinate somehow? Are they all the same? You see what I'm getting at, or are they somehow different, or slight subtle differences, perhaps?
Well, there's no central world authority for independent Catholicism, mm-hmm. because that would be a pope. And basically, their church structure is headed by bishops rather than one central pope. So they are very scattered and very different. However, locally, there's many collaborations. For example, I was speaking this past weekend, not just at St. Stan's, but also at Saints Clare and Francis Ecumenical Catholic Communion. The Ecumenical Catholic Communion is all over the country and meets here in St. Louis at Peace UCC, and they are in collaboration with St. Stan's. For example, I just realized that there's an amazing collaboration among St. Stan's and Saints Clare and Francis and the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet and a progressive Roman Catholic parish here in St. Louis and a few other independent Catholic communities to gather together and march under one banner, welcoming Catholic communities in the St. Louis Pride Parade. They do that every year and have a Facebook page. If you go to Welcoming Catholic Communities St. Louis, it lists all the both Roman Catholic and independent Catholic jurisdictions that are together doing this work.
Everybody's got to have a Facebook page.
That's it.
Including the independent church. You write, Julie Byrne, you say, when included in Catholic history, changes the narrative and arc and the shape of modern Catholicism. That's what this movement is doing. What do you mean by that?
Well, basically, when you see that for about three centuries and over many times and spaces, independent Catholics have always been there, and they seem to be peripheral to the main story, which is the Roman Catholic Church. But when you actually see that there's these collaborations happening at a local level all the time, those are interactions that help make Roman Catholicism work. There's a way in which, and I say this in the book, independent Catholicism is part of how modern Catholicism works. And it is in these interactions on a very local level, collaborations with Roman Catholics, that mean that our image of one monolithic Unitarian Catholicism all this time actually is simply not true. Catholicism turns out to have parts and branches, just like Protestantism, just like the Orthodox Church.
Where is it all going, do you think?
Well, it's really interesting to see what the independent Catholics themselves said about this. I took a survey of them as part of my book, and 406 independent Catholics across the country responded. And though some people say, oh, they're going to die out tomorrow, and some people say, oh, it's going to explode with growth because everybody wants this, the independent Catholics themselves are more modest in their claims. And what they say is it's going to keep adding numbers slowly. I tend to agree with them that this is, you know, a version of Catholicism that is slowly getting its message out. And Pope Francis is winning adherence back to the Roman Catholic Church. Yet it's very clear that there are limits to what he can do or will do. Are there going to be women priests in Pope Francis's papacy? I don't think so. Are there going to be women deacons? I don't think so either. Yet independent Catholics witness a version of Catholicism that has already decided that's okay. If you're a Catholic woman with a call to the priesthood, you need to know that another version of Catholicism exists. If you're a lesbian Catholic who wants to marry her partner and raise your children together, you want a Catholic sacramental marriage, that's where your Catholicism can find its best expression.
But by the way, I should point out to our audience that we recorded an interview with Sister Simone Campbell of Nuns on the Bus, and she's going to be on tomorrow. She's heading for Cleveland. I'm sure she's there now for the convention, and you're well familiar with her and that social justice group.
I very much am, and social justice in all of the Catholic traditions is so strong. In the Roman Church, there's, you know, enough power and resources to gather, you know, sisters like Nuns on the Bus and go on a national mm-hmm. campaign. Independent Catholics are so small with much fewer resources, and so they usually don't have the social justice national footprint that Roman Catholics do. What I say they do much better is what I call sacramental justice. Mm-hmm. Social justice, but they do sacramental justice in their small churches, making decisions on their own. They can just do it regards opening the sacraments to everyone. That's really different from what the big communions can get done fast.
Why is the church in Rome averse to a greater role for women?
Well, I think that it is an institution that has a lot of traditions, and in particular in modernity, boxed itself into a corner with papal power. It was a strategy to recover from the Reformation, to make the Pope very, very strong. But concluding that the Pope should have powers of infallibility, and short of infallibility, mostly just make pronouncements that were very, very influential, almost locked in stone. There have been past popes that really shut down the question of women's ordination. And for Francis to try to unlayer what past popes, who are supposed to be so authoritative, said, is a very tricky proposition.
Mm. It seems to me, I'm not Catholic, but as an outsider looking in, that it is damaging to the church because you talk about modernity. Women are here to stay, as we see just in the political scene here in the United States. The fact that they're not bringing women into the church, it's costing them in terms of women who are joining the various orders and becoming nuns, if you will. Same thing is happening with regard to priests and the number of men who are choosing that service. It's hurting the church.
Well, it really exasperates many Roman Catholic progressives to note these things you point out, that there is a priest shortage. Yeah. There are incredible diminishing numbers of sisters who have been such pillars of not only Catholic culture but American culture for the years of this country. And wouldn't having women's ordination solve all of that? Wouldn't putting women on equal status even make the religious orders for women much more attractive? So you're certainly not alone in observing that. I think that there's a movement on Francis's part to do all he can to welcome everyone in the door. I also think that the Roman Church is, as you're saying, losing adherents. The latest poll from Pew shows that even just in the last 8 years, the percentage of Roman Catholics in the United States went down from a quarter of the country to a fifth of the country. That's a huge drop in only 8 years. However, religion in general in the country is losing adherents. The spiritual but not religious folk that don't feel they need to go to any church or belong to any religious organization is also very strong.
I've not seen those. I'm stunned by the figures you just cited there with regard to the Catholic Church. That certainly has to catch the attention of the Vatican.
It does. The Roman Church in the United States is very vocal, and it's also very wealthy, and it's certainly catching attention. I do think that there's a Pope Benedict flavor left over in the U.S. bishops. Namely, they tend to think it's okay if the church gets smaller because it means that those who stay are more adhering to the doctrines that have been set forth by authority figures. The independent Catholics really put forward a different model of church that's about the laity get to make decisions. There's councils of the laity who are an integral part, both at St. Stan's and at St. Clair and Francis here in St. Louis. The laity are making decisions. The bishops and priests do the sacraments and provide a bishop's role, but they're not making the decisions. So many Catholics long for this, lay participation in the church.
I was going to ask how the traditional Catholic looks at the independent. I'm talking about the parishioner now, not the hierarchy. How they look at this independence movement.
It really varies there too. I do think that many Roman Catholics have understood the Roman Catholic theological line that there's no real Catholicism outside the Roman Church. And so if you go to a Catholicism that's outside the Roman Church, it's not real Catholicism or not real Catholicism or not Catholicism at all. And so you have that attitude. Then again, I've met Roman Catholics who are delighted to hear that independent Catholics exist. And where can I find one of those churches? And thank goodness they're ordaining women. And I need to check that out because they're looking for that in their own parishes.
Is this independence movement happening elsewhere, other parts of the world?
Very much so. Historically, the largest, longest lasting is the Old Catholic Church based in Utrecht in the Netherlands. There's also significant independent Catholic communities in Poland, in England, in Brazil, and in the Philippines, and in parts of West Africa. So it's really gotten everywhere, sometimes from starts in the United States.
But I gather from what you said, Julie Byrne, that in our lifetimes, we're probably not going to see the Mother Church change.
Well, I think it is changing. To be fair, this phenomenon of Pope Francis is a mark on the church that will not be totally erased, no matter who his successor is, even if there's a reigning in. So I want to give credit to the Roman Catholic Church that it does change over time. It changes slowly. And it takes the whole apparatus of a global church to get it done. And I think that what independent Catholics offer is the model of Catholicism run by bishops, very traditional in having sacraments and reverence for the saints, but yet able to be more creative, exploratory, experimental in directions that a lot of Catholics wish the Roman Church would go.
What did you learn in all of your research that you didn't know going into this whole project?
I learned they existed. I teach religion at Hofstra University. I have a PhD with an emphasis in Catholic studies. And through all that time, nobody told me that independent Catholics existed. And so to come to this research topic and just have my own definition of Catholicism blown open by the existence for a very long time of independent Catholics was the biggest thing I learned. I hope I can bring other people into the conversation that there are other Catholics.
Well, you can do it, and you will do it with your book, The Other Catholics, Remaking America's Largest Religion. Julie Byrne, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure meeting you and learning about this. A lot of information here that I think is new to a lot of folks.
Thank you, Don.
Great. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.